video games, movies, comics.
Podcast from Oscar Mike Media.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 10 of the Oscar White Media Podcast. Somehow we have made it to double digits even though we are full of dirty words. I am joined as per normal by the general dude over at screendemon.com, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Kuzu Zhangpo.
What the hell was that?
That was Bhutan.
Bhutan. I can hear someone desperately opening up the Wikipedia page. Well, I'm also joined as per normal by editor-in-chief at sixaxis.com and head dude for the whole of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Saying hello, Peter.
No. I'm not doing it. Every week I make the effort to learn how to say hello in a whole new language, and every week you don't show any sort of appreciation, so this week I'm not playing.
That's fine. And we're also joined by a special guest, I can never say your surname right. Blair Ingles,
like seagulls.
Blair Ingles. We're joined by Blair Ingles, our Scottish correspondent. Say hello, Blair.
All right, mate.
That's fine.
That's Scottish.
That'll do. Right, let's get...
Sounded like a Cockney.
Not really. Right, let's get things off to a quick start. I was going to talk this week about whether or not good and evil can really be objective concepts, whether they're just part of a culture, but I thought it was a little bit heavy. So, Blair, you want to talk about Pokemon?
Yeah, Pokemon. Yeah, the new Pokemon Black, I got it, and it's good. It's not got any 3D, so I can't comment on that, so I'm actually going to talk about the game. it's the same formula as the old ones.
I've never played the old ones.
I know, two of the people on this podcast have never played Pokemon. I fucking love Pokemon.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's an awesome RPG.
Yeah, it's for kids, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It is for kids. It's for children.
Of course it is.
It's not. It is for children.
It's like teddy bears fighting.
Teddy bears fighting would be awesome.
Although teddy bears fighting is actually a little bit cooler than
Teddy bears
Pokemon.
Fighting would be awesome.
I don't know. Did you see that Naughty Bear game? That was like teddy bears fighting.
I was
it was shit.
Unless it was like Naughty Bear. But I think that was the execution of teddy bears fighting. It was bad.
You want to execute them now? That's just a bit sick.
Yeah, that's just how I roll. So Blair, is this kind of like the traditional formulaic Pokemon, or do you feel they've mixed things up a bit?
You go to all 8 gyms, but the story seems better.
Like, okay.
The Team Plasma actually seem like they actually want to do something rather than just, oh, I want your Pokemon.
Yeah, because normally it seems to be, we should take over the world every single time.
Yeah, they just want to liberate Pokemon because they feel they're being badly treated.
That's quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, by being put into battles and stuff, so they want to liberate them and turn them into, separate them from humans.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it is kind of the equivalent of cockfighting, and cockfighting isn't cool, and please no one make a joke about the word cock.
No, I'm just thinking that...
Can I make a joke about cockfighting?
Living in Brighton has obviously affected you.
Oh, I tried to make a serious point. Anyway,
I would have gone for dog fighting myself.
Yeah, I was. I should have said dog fighting. It was so much easier. But yeah, it kind of is the equivalent of that kind of not cool sport.
Yeah.
But then dog fighting's just Friday night on the town in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
No, we mean actual dogs, not just ugly women.
And the graphics are really improved from even Diamond and Pearl and Platinum, because like there's a big 3D bridge. Even though
is it nice?
It's nice. Even though you've still got 2D sprites, it's like feels.
How many fucking
like
Pokemon are there now?
There's like 690.
No, I kind of meant how many games are there, but that sounds about right anyway.
Yeah, but in this game, you don't actually get any of the old ones.
So they're all completely new.
Well, Pikachu's not in it.
Yeah, but you only get them after you've completed the main game. So it's quite good, because I'm usually just using the same team every time.
Ah, so it forces you to use different characters. Still for kids.
Not.
But yeah, well, I mean, what I've heard is like the fact that they're saying the first time you go through, you're only going to encounter new Pokemon, kind of makes it feel a bit fresher than sort of the other games in the series. It
feels like the first time you played Red or Blue.
Yeah, that's cool. And the isometric drawing of like the buildings and stuff looks way more interesting.
Yeah.
And the fact they've kind of redone all the animations for the Pokemon battles.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a lot more dynamic than before.
Yeah, and the fact you can do 3-on-3 battles looks really interesting. Yeah.
I've not encountered one of them yet. I've encountered something called a Revolve battle where.
Hold on, do you fancy a 3-on-3 cockfight?
Oh,
not mine.
It just ignore and play. Carry on. What were you saying about Revolve battles?
It's still for kids.
Just as Revolve battles. Cockfighting for kids.
Oh, God.
Too far.
Too early.
Anyway, yeah.
It's not too far, it's just too early.
Where you...
They'll still be awake.
Anyway, I'm done. That's enough.
Alright, you put Blair off his stride.
Put Blair off his stride?
Stride. I said stride very specifically.
I didn't hear the rest of the stra. Right.
So, seriously, before we stop talking about Pokemon, how many games are there in Pokemon?
Two or three each generation, and this is the fifth generation.
It seems like every couple of years there's another two games come out. They always release two colours, don't they?
Yeah, and then they do the remakes.
Yeah, they released... You kind of get, like, every sort of generation, because, like, it depends if you count the 3DS as a new generation or not, but you kind of get, like, two brand new ones, but then they'll like remake old ones, or you'll get something that's not quite in the main series. So there was like Pokemon Ranger and Pokemon Dungeon Rescue Dungeon or something, or those might be the same game. But yeah, so you kind of get like you'll probably get two new entries in the main series every generation, two remakes. And then maybe a couple of spin-off games, and then you'll probably get something else on their home console on the Wii or whatever. So there's probably about 20 games I would think now in the Pokemon series.
How are kids supposed to buy all of those games?
Well, they don't. Is the thing? It's kind of like they just always target these games at the exact same age group, and if they can get guys like me and Blair to pick it up, then that's just like something extra on top. If they can keep old fans as well, that's fantastic. But I don't think they really care.
So you've just admitted that Pokemon is for kids?
I would say Pokemon is sold to kids. I wouldn't say it's necessarily for kids, but it's definitely sold to kids.
It's actually quite a deep RPG if you go beyond the kiddie, like front layer.
I might try one. I've never played a Pokemon game. Don't know if I told you that before, but I haven't.
Oh, really? Really?
It's kind of It's nice because it's kind of, you can play it as a really lightweight game, or you can play it as a fairly involving RPG, and it just depends how you want to play it.
I don't want to play it.
Yeah, but that's because you have no joy in your life.
I don't have no joy in my life, you're right.
Anyway, Lewis, you want to talk about Let Me In?
No.
You didn't want to talk about Let Me In?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I want to leave, that's what I want to do.
Oh, I'm sorry if I have hurt your feelings, Lewis. Why are you so upset?
You have. I'm not. I'm being obstructive.
As per normal, then.
Yeah.
Just like every other week.
I could talk about Let Me In if you want me to talk about Let Me In.
Yeah, it would be handy. I mean, it is on the list.
Okay. It's a remake of Let the Right One In, if you don't know, which is a Swedish film, as they say in Australia. And that is in turn based on the Swedish book Let the Right One In, and it's about a little boy, a little weird looking boy who lives on his own. Well, no, tell a lie, he lives with his mum, but his mum's a bitch, so he's got no friends and he's got no life really. And then this 12 year old girl vampire moves into the apartment building and they sort of befriend each other. But it's not a typical vampire film, it's not all about blood and gore and things like that. It's more about the friendship, and it deals with vampires in quite a human way. So she's quite she's quite thoughtful, she's got feelings and whatever, but she's also obviously got that sinister bloodlust in her as well. But it's, yeah, it's just a really good vampire film.
Okay.
Is that Chloe Moritz in that?
Yes, yeah, girl from Kick-Ass. And the boy is the boy from The Road. Have you seen that with Viggo Mortensen? Yeah, the boy's Owen in it. He's the main boy. It's good. The Let Me In is good. It's a good remake. The original, I do prefer the original still slightly because it's just got a more indie feel to it. The Let Me In is very stylized and very glamorized. And it's got a lot more sort of gore and effects in it than the Swedish version. It's let down by some effects, like when Abby, who's the vampire, she like goes for blood and stuff. She starts making weird movements, like she's jittery and really fast, which looks really tacky and fake. And none of that was in the Swedish one, so that's the downside to it. But it, other than that, it's a very good standalone film. Not just a good remake.
Would you say it was that the right one was needed a remake or?
It didn't necessarily need a remake, but then again, I think.
Can you hear that?
Are you playing Pokemon?
Yeah. Lewis, I'm gonna do this until you.
Until I play Pokemon. Yeah. I think your battery's going to run out.
That's a DS.
It's all right, Lewis, you'll grow out of it before then.
How old are you, Blair?
I'm 18. Remember, it was my birthday last time.
All right. Jeez.
I'm only asking.
How old are you?
26.
All right. That's cool.
Hence why I don't play Pokemon.
anyway, carry on talking. After that rather weird interruption, carry on talking about Let Me In.
What were we saying?
I have no fucking idea.
Did it need a remake? It didn't need a remake as such, because I'm of the opinion that regardless of what language it's in, It's a film and it's out there, so I'm not a massive fan of turning something into English just because some people don't like reading.
No, exactly. Like, I don't think the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that series, I don't think really needed to be remade.
No.
And especially because the originals were meant to be very good, from what I've heard.
The first one and the third one are very good. The middle one's a bit of a letdown, but it's still quite a good film, and quite a good trilogy. But in Let the Right One In's case, like I said, the Swedish one is a very good film. It's got a very distinct feel and style to it. Like I said, it's very isolated and lonely feeling to it. And the remake's quite claustrophobic. So it has got, they do stand apart if you put them side by side. But if the fact that they've remade it, at least they've done a good job of it.
That sounds pretty cool.
Is it scary? Is it?
Not like in the slightest. No,
it's not
like
a proper horror film.
No, it's classed as horror because it was the official relaunch of Hammer Horror, wasn't it? So it's like I say, it's got more horror aspects, lots of blood and things like that. But it's not scary. It's got a weird, like I said, it's not scary at all. It's just got a weird feeling to it. It's got a weird vibe. I think it's because it's quite. It is just quite lonely, and it's empty almost. It's just got that weird feeling to it. So it is very good, but not a horror in the true sense of the word at all, really. It's not even tense, I would say. It's just a very good story.
Cool. I might watch that thing. The reason I'm asking is that my wife won't watch anything scary at all.
Oh, right.
She won't
watch
Shaun of the Dead because it's got zombies in it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, in that case, there will be... I think there may be one or two like minute long segments that she might not like, but the rest of it is just the good.
Yeah, she's a little bit better with vampires, but zombies she can't go near.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that Lucozade advert that had the zombies in it playing basketball?
No.
There used to be a Lucozade advert where everybody was zombies and they were playing basketball.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was a great advert. She couldn't watch that advert anyway.
Okay. That's weird. I don't know why zombies would play basketball. They've probably got more important things on their mind.
I don't know.
Like murdering and eating brains.
Like brains.
Or drinking Lucozade for the purposes of this advert.
Or drinking Lucozade for the purposes of that advert.
I drink shitloads of Lucozade. All the zombies got to do is eat me.
And you will in turn pass on the Lucozade.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like, I've forgotten that word now. Oh, well.
Well done.
I've been drinking shitloads of the cherry Lucozade and the apple Lucozade this past couple of weeks.
Oh, you're wrong.
Do you just drink the straight original one?
No, that's even wronger.
I'm not sure wronger is the word.
Orange,
the orange one? Oh,
wronger is a word because I just said it.
Dirty bastard, the orange one?
Yeah.
Rank.
No.
See,
yuck.
I am presently, as my energy drink of choice, normally I have the Relentless that has fruit juice in it when I do these podcasts. But today I'm having Mountain Dew Energy because...
Oh, dear God.
That's nice.
Sainsbury's are selling it in litre bottles now.
Mountain Dew tastes like piss. Not that I know what piss tastes like, but everyone went on about it. I was like, oh, I saw one in the shop, so I bought it. I gave it a chance. No.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah, Mountain Dew.
Maybe you're just too old for it.
Maybe.
I'm so Blair.
Does it come with free Pokemon?
Blair Lewis is kind of right.
Green, like, shiny.
The English Mountain Dew is not good. The relaunched one, it's all right, but it's not good. The American one, the proper Mountain Dew, is fucking amazing. But to comply with British laws, they had to change the recipe. And it tastes it's not as good as the real one. The American one's so much better. The Japanese one is the best, because it has, like, tangerine and orange juice in it.
Pokemon in it.
No, the Japanese one doesn't just have orange juice, it has tangerine in it as well, and it makes it taste really interesting. It's really zingy.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
That wasn't on your list, was it?
Plus, if you buy the Japanese one, it comes in, like, doesn't come in normal can size, it comes in, like, beer can size.
Beer can.
Yeah, I was thinking that as I said it. Anyway, Peter, you've been playing the Little Big Planet 2 community level. Oh, fuck, I did it right. Community levels. so yeah, tell us about that for the competition.
Chris, which game's that?
Little Big Planet 2. I actually have to close my eyes and think about saying it.
I have.
Yes.
I've been spending this week fiddling with my sack, boy.
Lovely.
Yeah, I've been playing the...
And you pop it.
The levels... I've been playing the levels that were submitted for the TSA competition.
Yes.
And I can't believe how much we're all laughing at the notion of Sackboy.
No, I just got the giggles now.
It's such an easy joke as well. Yeah, so have you picked a favourite one?
I want to play them all again. There is one that I have to say is my front runner for my favourite at the moment, and it's simply because it includes all of us.
Yeah, I know. There's one that includes the podcast. That's my favourite. I haven't played any of the others.
Yeah,
I haven't played any of them, but that's my favourite.
Oh, it's amazing. And we all talk. We've all got speech bubbles.
But I have a quiff.
Yeah, you have a quiff.
Yeah, you have a quiff. Well, don't you have a quiff?
No. No, I don't.
Well, I think you owe it to the TSA readers to grow yourself a quiff.
I don't want to grow a quiff.
Well, you sound tough.
You sound really upset about the notion of growing.
You shouldn't have been such a popular podcast. That's the price of fame.
Yeah, so what was it you have to do at the podcast bit? You told me, but I've forgotten. Like, there's an actual task, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a bit where you run along, and I think the first bit you have to answer a question based on you not being able to say penguin.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And then if you get it right, then it opens a door, and then you get through. You get through to the studio, and then then Lewis is lost in the maze. So you have to go around the maze to find Lewis, and you have to pick him up. When you pick him up, he says, "Please don't drop me, because this whole maze is made of grass, and it'd be a nightmare to pick me up again." So
I've got to play that.
You have to pick Lewis up and take him to find his sheep.
God.
Because he has lost his sheep. And when you get him down and find his sheep in the maze, then that opens another door, and it takes us through to this podcast studio, which is absolutely nothing like our respective podcast studios.
It's cute that someone thinks we have a studio.
It's got the logo in and everything.
I know that. I saw that. That was amazing. But it is kind of cute that someone thinks we have a studio.
And then there's a couple of times when I try to tell the N-Dubs joke.
Yeah.
God. And somebody stops me. Every time I'm about to say it, somebody stops me. It's really funny. It's really clever, really well made. I think it was.
You'll have to email me the link to the name of that one, because I'd quite like to play that one.
Yeah, they're all up on the site. If people haven't played them yet, if you just search for Little Big Planet 2 on the Sixth Axis, they'll show up. Teflon built the whole level that has underwater sections, and it's really complex.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there's a level that's like a race, but it's like a... it's a really tricky race. It's sort of, you have to go all over the place. And then there's a level that's kind of like... It's kind of like Super Stardust, or that other one that was really good that I can't remember the name of, that Bizarre made.
Geometry Wars.
Geometry Wars.
Yes, that's the one. It's kind of like that. But your ship is a little TSA logo, and all the enemies are the logo for that Turkish site that ripped us off. You have to fly around and shoot them. It's brilliant.
And you just spit Mountain Dew onto my neck.
It's genuinely amazing.
Oh, you made me laugh too much.
Just the things that people can do with that is genuinely amazing, and the effort that people have put in to do things which are specifically related to TSA as well is really quite humbling.
Cool.
So definitely people should go and play those. And I was explaining them, my wife hasn't seen them yet, but I'm going to make her play them. But I was explaining to her about the levels, and specifically about the one that involves all the podcast stuff. And I was telling her all about it, and she has talked me into, adding to the prize fund for that competition. So whoever has entered that, I'm going to try and see what I can find and dig out and just add something to the prizes for it. Cause the effort that's been put in is amazing.
Well, be cool.
Yeah.
Do you got any idea what you're going to give? You just got random PR gubbins knocking about?
No, I'm going to have a look. I don't know. I think the first prize in that competition already is like a Little Big Planet t-shirt or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So I'm just going to see if I can get something else, pick up something else that might be related or just something.
I've got a Sackboy they can have if they want.
That's a
genuine thing. That's one of the ones that they gave out. Their YouTube channel gave out.
But they're worth loads.
They were what?
They're worth loads and really rare.
How much?
I don't know. But there's only 5,000 of them in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck them then. Get it on eBay.
Yeah, fuck it. I am.
Right now.
Sorry, people.
Oh.
Yeah, bye.
But I had...
Yeah, I think I've seen, like, big sack boys, though. I think I saw in game a couple of weeks ago. I might get one of them. So probably, I don't know. I'm going to have a look anyway, and probably my wife's going to want to pick stuff out because she tends to get involved in these things sometimes.
If I had anything of value, I'd give it away. I have a PlayStation 2 hat that they could have. That's literally a PS2 launch hat that I got given by a Sony rep once.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't have that actually. Doesn't fit me though because my head's massive.
No. I'm not sure. We'll find something.
It sits in the corner of a box because my head's too big for it. Makes good frisbee.
Packet of Space Raiders.
Yeah, I will chip in some Mountain Dew. The prize fund. Someone's gonna get Mountain Dew.
Why would you do that?
That's but nice one. Because there's an import shop in Brighton.
You bloody Brighton.
And also Nerds, because you can get actual Nerds there.
What, the sweets?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, you seriously
can. Can you get dweebs as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, awesome.
They're really expensive. They're like £2 a packet because they're imported
Fuck
from the States. Well, they're imported from the States. That's why they're really expensive.
Jesus Christ. They used to be like 40p.
Well, yeah, but that's when they actually sold them in the UK. They don't sell them in the UK anymore.
But £2? What are they doing? Importing per order?
Yes. You go into the shop and you pick it up. And they're like, we'll be back in about a week. That's what happens.
When I was in the States, my brother moved to Oklahoma about 6 or 7 years ago. And I went to visit him a couple of years ago. And they have a shop over there because in Oklahoma you can't, well, in America in general, you can't get nice chocolate and you can't get tea bags. Or like things like brown sauce and just all the stuff that you get in the UK, he couldn't get it over there. But he found this little import shop that was really expensive. But obviously, because he's out there and he can't get the stuff, every now and again he goes to this little import shop and spends a fucking fortune stocking up on cool stuff that you can only get in the UK. So when we were there, because we were in America for like a week, he took us to this little import shop, and I spent, I think, about £2 buying one of the little bars of dairy milk. And it had only been like 4 days since I had a bar of dairy milk that cost me like 40p.
Jeez. To be fair, that just sounds like a spa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound like a spa. That's about the right price for dairy milk these days.
Shit, really?
It's fucking expensive in the shop.
A big fuck
it's
off
not that bad.
Dairy milk.
But, well, no, even the little ones...
Where'd you go shopping, Chris? Oh, well, you're in Brighton. It's all hippie shit, isn't it?
They go to the co-op, the little ones are like 60p for a chocolate bar in the co-op.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like that co-op.
In Brighton, they charge you extra if you're wearing shoes.
That'll be
yeah, that's
it. It's a shoe charge.
Yeah, I just haven't quite got into the barefoot thing enough. If I just walked around as nature intended, I'd be fine. Anyway, I can't believe I said it as fucking as nature wouldn't. Intended.
You'd be cold.
I would be cold. Yeah, I'm going to talk quite briefly about Amazing Spider-Man because our lovable Peter Parker has had some quite big changes where he's lost his spider sense. Because basically he was in this big hopeless battle where, if any of you remember the Scorpion, who was a character, he's kind of come back, but they've given him the equivalent of a spider sense, but that's some kind of Scorpion sense, I would assume. And he had this bomb that could disrupt his kind of sixth sense thing. But if he set it off when he was too close, he'd lose his spider sense as well. And the only way he could set it off was to set it off when he was right above it. And now he seems to have permanently lost his spider sense. And so to combat that, because he goes into this fight and immediately gets shot because he's so used to having his spider sense just letting him dodge stuff. He has a new suit that's like this really futuristic-y looking bulletproof suit. It looks kind of awesome. It kind of looks a little bit like his black suit. But it's actually bulletproof and pretty epic. It looks really cool.
Spider-Man's going to die.
That's Ultimate Spider-Man, not mainstream Spider-Man.
Too many Spider-Mans.
Yeah, it gets
who would win between mainstream Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man?
Well, mainstream Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man's only 16.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Exactly.
He probably still plays Pokemon.
Yep, he does. But yeah, I just thought that was worth mentioning because it's quite cool. And it also segues nicely into the next little bit of comic book, but also film news. Darren Aronofsky, who was the director for Black Swan, has departed the Wolverine movie, sadly, because he would have been fucking amazing on it. Have you heard this, Lewis?
I don't think it would have been his film, though. Yeah. Even, I just don't think that's not his type of film. I don't think he should have been connected to it in the first place.
No, I kind of agree. He shouldn't necessarily have been connected to it. And also, the
because Branagh's directing Thor, and I would have said that that's not really his kind of film, but it looks from the trailers like he's doing a really good job of it.
See, I'm mixed over the Thor trailers. Some of it looks really good, but then I think a lot of it, or not a lot of it, but some of it, I think I need to wait until see it in the full movie to sort of make a judgment on it. But
Well,
I mean that's a good example, and I'm all for directors sort of getting out of their comfort zone. But
even Nolan with Batman.
Yeah, well, Batman's not true. A film you'd expect Nolan to make, really, based on his previous work.
And they're really good.
Yeah.
I suppose it's more to do with the writing of the Wolverine, because Wolverine Origins wasn't exactly brilliant.
It wasn't stellar, was it?
I mean, Deadpool.
This is Wolverine 2. I was going to say, I know you're fond of the way Deadpool's presented in that movie, but apart from that, it really wasn't a very good film.
The ultimate portrayal of Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just amazing.
The merc with a sewn-up mouth.
The merc who keeps quiet and doesn't say much.
See, I like that you've learned enough to at least mock it well. But yeah, I learned because of that film,
because it introduced me to Deadpool. I thought, who is this enigmatic and intriguing character without the mouth? So I looked into it and learnt more, and it's only now through that that I came to realise that he is the true representation.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't know, I think he would have been at least an interesting take on Wolverine in this film if Aronofsky had been doing it. I think he was in something a little less kind of all-out action than Wolverine Origins was, and maybe a bit more character development, particularly as it's taking place in Japan, which kind of traditionally in the backstory of Wolverine was kind of like a, yes, he obviously, there was still like action and fights that took place, but it was a lot, it was a period of character development and kind of where he picked up some of his, because he kind of is sort of like a samurai in some respects and has taken on some of their sort of code of honor and stuff. And that's where he picked that up in Japan. So there's quite a big scope for character development, I think.
The only other, from my personal point of view, the only other problem with the Wolverine films is I love Wolverine as a character when he's in the X-Men.
Mm.
But, like, his knives and his attitude, that's all brilliant. No, he's a really good character. But I have no interest in his backstory or his life or anything like that. I like the finding out about how he became Wolverine, like in the Adamantium and all that, but yeah. I didn't give a shit how he got there. The bit of Wolverine I like is the fact that he's just a leery, strong little mentalist. I don't really care what else happened in his life.
Yeah, see, what I find quite odd about that film is I like that, and if it still gets made, the Magneto film, I don't think are necessarily for the same audience that the X-Men films were for. But it's just quite an odd way for Fox to have taken the franchise.
Loads of superhero films.
Yeah, but I think maybe like X-Men First Class is going to kind of mix those two audiences a bit more, because it looks like it's got kind of the action and stuff of the earlier X-Men film, but has kind of the backstory and slightly more interesting stuff that was in Wolverine. Because yeah, Wolverine wasn't great, but it did have some interesting things in it.
Yeah, I think that the backstory and what makes the character of Wolverine could be really interesting. And I think that this is an issue that we have with a lot of the superhero movies, is that they focus on the superhero rather than the character. So you get like Wolverine Origins, and it's about, you know, it does go into the backstory and how he got to be the way he is, but primarily it's about him throwing his claws out and ripping shit up, which is fun. But there's an awful lot to Wolverine's character that could be really interesting. You know, he's quite a tortured soul.
Yeah.
And you could make a Wolverine movie where he doesn't get his claws out at all.
Yeah, you could quite easily. It'd be interesting. It would actually be quite a good film. You could make the proper Wolverine Origins comic.
Yeah.
And you could make that, and that'd be good. Or you could make something like Old Man Logan, where he doesn't pop his claws till very near the end of the comic, because it's kind of a new lifestyle he's taken on, where he's trying to be more peaceful, kind of thing.
I think that Aronofsky could have made, or could have introduced elements of that into a Wolverine movie.
Yeah,
and could have done a really, really good job of it.
Well, like particularly as I was saying, considering it's going to be set in Japan and that kind of period in Wolverine's life, that's why I think he would have done a really interesting job of it.
Although the problem is, there'll be that much studio interference.
I don't know if there would be, but, well, now the thing is, it's just going to get some Michael Bay clone attached to it, in all likelihood, and be fucking terrible.
That's the other reason why I don't think he should have done it, because his films are... He controls his films, and a film like Wolverine is too set from people like Fox and that to...
Yeah.
It needs to make a certain amount of money, needs to contain this amount of guts and action and whatever. That's not how, I don't think that's how Aronofsky should ever work. He should always just be given free rein and the time that he needs and just trust him, really.
No, I think that would have been a problem, it would have been, as Kevin Smith says, noted to death, in all likelihood, which would have been a shame. It would have been nice if Fox had just let him run with it. It would have just been really interesting, but doesn't look like it's going to happen now. Something good happened though. What was it? The rights for something reverted from Fox back to Marvel. I can't remember what it was, but some wank they made. One of the really crappy ones they made.
Phantom.
No.
Panther.
Elektra.
No. Daredevil.
No.
Jesus.
I'm not sure that's a Marvel property.
Passion of the Christ, have you not seen that?
But I can't remember
what it
was. Yeah, I
think that was DC.
That was a superhero film. He died and came back to life and everything. It's epic. Right.
But yeah, in a way, the rights for something, some superhero that I can't quite recall off the top of my head, have reverted to Marvel, and that made me happy, because it means it might not be shit this time.
Punisher.
Yes, Punisher, that was it.
Yeah.
The rights of Punisher have reverted. But that wasn't Fox,
oh,
but it was someone else.
They made one quite poor Punisher film, and then they made one that was absolutely terrible, didn't they?
Even worse.
Yeah, they made the first one.
The first one was Thomas Jane, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was kind of just fairly generic kind of action movie. I mean, it wasn't awful, but it just wasn't particularly interesting either. And then they made the second one that I refuse to see because I don't want to give them any money for it. I've heard it's that bad.
It is awful.
And that's the one. Yeah. The second one is the one with John Travolta in it, I think. And it's meant to be absolutely fucking awful.
No, the one with John Travolta in it is the one with Thomas Jane in it.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. It was like Punisher Warzone or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe terrible. Came out about the same time as the equally terrible Max Payne film. Moving on again. Blair, you wanted to talk about Memento.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
See, I've seen Memento, but I don't remember it.
Oh.
That's a fucking terrible joke.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's why no one laughed.
Oh, that's witchy, you little fucker.
I just tattooed it on my arm so I can talk about it.
Just all of you, get out.
I took
a Polaroid of it.
This is going to get angry about Memento. Was it any good?
I'm not getting angry.
Yeah, it was really good. I like movies that make you think.
Was the 3D nice?
There was no 3D. What are you talking about, Chris? I didn't go to the cinema to see it.
We literally...
I watched it on TV.
I was going to ask this question in the questions bit. We literally... From... who was it? Someone actually sent that in as a question for you. Who was it?
My flatmate asked me that earlier.
Yeah, audio sent...
I can't believe your flatmate listened to the podcast.
Yeah, that was weird.
I just walked through.
But yeah, audio worm said to ask you how the 3D is... Which made me laugh when I saw that pop up on Twitter. Yeah, good to hear. It remains nice. Memento, in a way.
Yeah, it was good because it was backwards. Kind of. But there was bits of forwards. But no, that just made you...
Oh, fucking hell.
it's like you didn't remember the movie either, obviously, because you haven't seen it yet.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, I can't remember.
I watched it again the other day and I'd forgotten the ending to it. The ending that I thought was
the ending
wasn't the ending at all. And therefore I was quite pleasantly surprised because I rediscovered the film again. Because I hadn't seen it for years before that.
Yeah, I just saw it 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Hmm.
Yeah. But it was really good, just the way it made you think, and it was just so well done, it all fitted together.
It is very, very clever, I thought, the way it was. It's sort of very layered, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, it's not just in reverse.
No, it's the
flashes, the segments of it, the flashes of memory are all sort of overlap and are all different times, and I thought it was very, very clever.
Yeah, because there'll be like, one scene that ends and then the next scene starts a minute into the last scene and then carries on over past where it ended, that sort of thing.
I just like when he sort of wakes up from to another day and he just can't remember anything. Like, he looks down at a bottle in his hand. It's like, I don't feel drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of other things. Like, he's running and he suddenly forgets
everything.
Yeah,
that bit's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm chasing this man. Oh no, he's chasing me.
I should probably watch Memento and then
you
at me.
It's great.
Oh well. I watched Inception. Make you happy.
No, you fucking didn't.
You didn't watch Inception.
You put it on in the background while you were reviewing comics, and then you turned around and called it distinctly average. Don't yeah. talk to me.
Look away.
All right, I won't talk to you. I'll talk to Peter about Star Drone.
What's that?
Yeah, Star Drone is...
Look, it looks fucking incredible.
Star Drone?
Yes.
Yeah. I hadn't really heard much about it, and then we got review code through for it. It's by Beat Shapers.
Never heard of them.
Oh, they did... I can't remember what they did previously. But... Fuck, the name's just gone completely out of my head. But anyway, it's going to be really hard to explain. The way they explain it is that it's kind of like Breakout, and it's kind of like a pinball game. So
as someone pointed out, it looks like one of the Sonic thingy zones, like one of the Sonic bonus stages.
Yeah, kind of.
That one.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, but a little bit like Flow. You know, that game company's PSN game.
Yeah.
I'll try and explain it. You basically fire a drone and you pick what direction you wanted to go in. And you fire this drone and then there are like little hubs all around the level.
Oh, I've seen a trailer for that.
They kind of light up when you get near them. And then you press the button and it catches the drone and it spins it round. So it'll, like, it was on a bit of string. So you're kind of slingshotting around these hubs and fire, and then you let go of the drone and it shoots off in whatever direction it was headed in.
Mm.
And that's basically, that's what you have to do for the whole game. But there'll be levels later on where there's rockets introduced and you can destroy the turrets by building up your shield and then bashing into them. And there are enemies that chase after you. And there are elements of the level that are like spiked so they're dangerous, and there are elements of the level that if you can get your drone into them, it sort of fires them around like a track and it takes them around really quickly. So there's all these sort of little interesting bits, and from not hearing much about it, and then we got the review code through, and I was sort of in the middle of eating my lunch and I loaded it up and I then spent like the next two and a half hours completely like focused on it, because it sounds really interesting and it's quite impressive to look at. And then you've got like the electronic music, and it's all, you know, it's quite stimulating the way all the graphics going mad and the music's mental. And so it sort of catches you and makes you look at it. And then you get caught up in the mechanics of it and trying to do the slingshots and just trying to get your shots perfect. And each level has like a time limit that they give you. Well, it's not a time limit. They have like a target time to try and meet. So you'll go through it and then you'll come out and it'll be like, well, your target time for that level, the time that you did was like 35 seconds, but the target time was 12 seconds. And you think, well, how the fuck could you do that any quicker? And then you can go back into the level and try and sort of perfect your route. And it's just really interesting. I can see people going back into the levels over and over again, just trying to get things perfect. It's really impressive. From not knowing anything about it, within like the space of a couple of hours, I was completely enraptured by it. And again, I'm going to have to write a review on it over the next day or two, but I can't wait to get back to it.
Cool. When I saw the trailer for it, it looked insane, properly.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's been a while since I had a complete surprise.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously so much we're so involved with.
I was so tempted
to do that. You were going to do that.
I was so tempted to do that.
Because we're so involved with the industry and we sort of know what's coming all the time. But I literally hadn't heard anything about this.
Because we're bitter.
Until I was loading it up. So that's really cool. It doesn't happen very often and I'm quite pleased when it does happen.
Cool. In the same way, I just wanted to quickly actually mention them. Why is there a company called That Game Company as well as That Game Studio? Because that fucking confused me at the BAFTAs. Anyway. Lewis, you have about a minute to talk about Enslaved if you're talking to me again, yeah?
I'm talking to you. You're just not allowed to talk to me.
All right.
I'm like the Queen.
Okay.
No jokes. I don't want any
jokes. In so many ways.
Yeah. All right, you have a minute to talk about Enslaved. Go.
It's very good. I like it. I like Monkey and I like Trip and I like it and it's good and I like it.
That was like 8 seconds.
Oh, shit. 8 seconds. I'm normally done by now.
Time for a cigarette and a shower.
Yeah. I like it. Oh, I like God. The jumping. I like the characters. I like the fact that they're not very stereotypical. I like the mechanics
like
of using... Shush! I'm trying to fit this into a minute. I like the mechanics of the fact that you have to distract people and then go places. I like the fact that you collect things. I like the fact that you have a staff. And I like the robots. And I like it.
Cool. You do sound like a... Yeah, you've still got 15 seconds left.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
If you want to do any more.
I like it.
Cool.
I like it. 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 Oh, I like Andy Serkis in it. And I like it.
Done.
I'm not getting a vibe that it's any good.
I like it.
Alright. Well done for that. I quite like Thanks. That. Maybe I'll do that again next week to someone because it's slightly mean but quite amusing.
which is what All we right. live for.
Yeah, that is what we live for. Lewis, we're running very late. Do you want to do the competition?
You what, sorry?
We're running very, very long, but do you want to do the competition?
We're only like 49 minutes in.
That's pretty long to be getting to the competition.
All right. Okay.
On. It's because he won't stop banging on about Enslaved.
Yeah. Oh, me, sorry. I tried to wrap it up, but Chris was too pushy. Okay, yes, so last week I played... which, of course, is Indiana Jones.
I thought it was, yeah.
If someone would like to pick a number between 1, 2, 8, please.
Blair.
8.
What, you're picking number 8?
Yeah.
Okay, that is Matt Crawford, who is apparently Crawfail.
Yeah, I know him. He's nice.
Okay. So he's one, and then if someone else could give me a number between 1 and 5.
Peter.
3.
1, 2, 3. He has he has won Homeward Bound.
Oh. Wonderful.
Oh. That is a beautiful. Classic film. It is beautiful. And I used to watch it all the time with my granddad when I was younger, and I always used to cry.
Homeward Bound's a good film.
When the Labrador gets...
Yeah.
I better not ruin it for him, actually.
Anyway, this week's
when
music.
When Labrador gets happy.
Yes, yeah. When the Labrador gets
his
happy.
A new pillow to lie on and a big can of beef.
Nothing sad happens in the film. Anyway.
Unfortunately.
That's why it's important for Lewis. Animals being unhappy.
It's got a cat and two dogs. I mean, that's just like... Well, that's...
Feels like that's overkill on the dog
front. It's good times, let's just say that.
All it needs is a fruit bowl full of drugs and Lewis is in.
Alright, go on, this week's one.
Actually, there are more animals in it because they go to the RSPCA centre, don't they, which is loads more dogs. It's just like one big orgy.
That's the group scene.
Yeah. Starts off with a trio, then goes into a tasteful solo, which then cuts into a... Yeah. I better stop, I'm getting quite hot. Why have you let me just ramble on?
I keep saying do this week's competition, but you're not listening.
I can't hear you.
Do the music. Come on.
Okay. So this week's competition is... That's that. So if you know that piece of music, or you know the film that piece of music's from, rather, email me at lewisgaston@screendemon.com. And you could win a DVD. It won't be as good as Homeward Bound now, because Homeward Bound's just gone, but there are four left, and two of them are very good, one of them's alright, and the other one is unbelievably shit.
Cool. So I'll like
is it
the
Pokemon
one that's
movie?
Shit, then.
it's worse than a Pokemon movie.
Is it Pokemon Star Wars quite good. Or Lord of the Rings?
Ooh.
I feel bad now. I feel bad. I like those.
You don't mean that.
I didn't mean that at all. I'm sorry.
All right. Lewis, as I understand it, you've knocked up two quizzes this week.
Yes, well, you don't have to do both. You can choose depending on what way you want to go about it. Or if whichever one you choose, we can then do the other one to see if you would have got more the other way. But the theme is musicians who have turned their hand to acting. So you've got two options. You can either have 10 clips of songs and you have to tell me a film that that person has been in. Or you can have 10 clips of the musician in the film, and then you have to tell me who the musician is.
Can we give the musician or film for the second one?
No.
Has to be the musician.
For the first one, where you hear the person's songs, you have to name a film that they've been in.
Okay.
The one where you hear the film, you have to name the musician.
Okay. What do people want?
Are the answers different?
The answer, no, they're the same group of people, not in the same order, but I think there is a definite level of difficulty in terms of whether or not you'll get it.
Which one's easier?
Not telling you.
I think we should do the clips from the films and try and guess who the musicians are.
Can we just guess the films like usual?
No, well, apparently we have to guess the musician this week. So.
Right, okay, so you want to hear the film and you have to guess who the musician turned actor is.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
I'm going to get none this week.
And then, like I say, depending on how well you do, if you want, you can listen to the other one afterwards to see how well you would have done that way.
Right.
So, okay, so, and as you, so these are clips of films.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's just clarify. These are clips of films where a musician is the actor and you have to tell me who the musician is. And if you don't hear any or need me to repeat it, just let me know. Okay, number one.
Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with string.
Number two.
Okay.
You will die contorted. And you will die unforgiven. You see, there's this puzzle, and at the center of this puzzle, there's a child. And this is a very sick child.
Number three.
Everybody knows you used to shit yourself around my old man. The day you come to arrest him, got 6 year-old mates to put me in the back of the van where you just stood there and watched that little pussy hole that you are. Sergeant, you got... I think you got rid of my old man off that estate, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't.
Number four.
You cowered before me. I was frightening. I have reordered time. I have turned the world upside down. And I have done it all for you.
Number five.
My son won't talk to me. He won't even look at me. What the hell did you do? Turn him against me?
I didn't do anything. I told you I wasn't going to make him talk to you.
He'll get a job.
What am I supposed to use for a car?
The bus. That's what I do.
Number six.
No, Clarice, you just said your father gave you something. I heard you just say.
You didn't hear shit.
I heard you say your father.
I didn't say shit like
that. I don't care, honey.
I didn't say nothing like that.
I need to know this.
Let's move on.
I need to know this to help you.
Bitch, can we change the subject?
Okay.
Number seven.
I got a song. It's called The Mess Around.
The Mess Around. Cute title. Who wrote it?
I did.
Ah, you wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, sing it to me, man.
Sing it?
Yeah. It ain't like I could read the lyrics.
Number eight.
And you meet Amelia somebody. Ritter, but you prefer Amy. You're from Orinda. Your father's in commercial real estate, and your mother's 10 years sober.
What's my major?
Trombone.
Really?
I remember something about a trombone.
Number nine.
Oh, now I get it. You want to use my bravado to block for you so you can
That's
come
right.
right through, huh?
I knew you were clever, Mr. Jackson.
Well, just a couple of three things wrong with your proposition.
Oh?
I don't work for anybody. I never run second to anybody. And one small thing. I intend to win.
Number 10.
You ever wonder at what point you gotta just say, fuck it, man? Like when you gotta stop living up here and start living down here.
Okay. How do you all think you did?
Rubbish.
I have answered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure about, well, I'm only really sure about two of them.
I have 4, but I'm only sure of 3 of them.
Right. Okay, so yeah, we're looking for the musician.
I have 0.
What was, you have 0?
And I'm sure about 0 of them.
Okay.
It's 100% success.
It's the taking part that takes care.
Yeah.
That takes care?
It's the taking part that takes care.
Yeah.
Well-known I have phrases no that idea Lewis can't that... recite.
Yeah, so take care. yeah, number one.
Was number one Bjork?
Yes.
Yeah, I got nothing for one.
Was Bjork, and that was from Dancer in the Dark.
I only guessed at Bjork because it sounded like a crazy bitch.
She's brilliant in that film, though. Have you seen
is
it?
Is she? No.
Oh, that is a brilliant film. Lars von Trier. Number two.
Is number two Tom Waits?
Peter?
I didn't answer number two, and I'm a massive Tom Waits fan.
Number two is Tom Waits.
Is it from Domino?
Yes, it was from Domino.
That's unbelievable. I haven't seen that film, though, to be fair.
It's shit, don't worry.
I thought it was alright, but no, it's not special.
No. But Tom Waits is awesome.
Tom Waits is amazing.
Tom Waits is just generally awesome.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. So that's one all. Number three.
I got nothing.
No, I got nothing.
I've got nothing.
Blair?
Obviously.
Asking Blair is just kind of cruel.
Number three was Strickland Banks, or Plan B, however you want to know, in Harry Brown. Number four.
But nothing.
Number four was David Bowie in Labyrinth.
It was, yes. Fuck.
I knew David Bowie was going to be in there somewhere, but I didn't know. I didn't get it.
There he was, number four. Number five.
I've got nothing.
Number five was Eminem?
Nope.
No?
Number five was John Bon Jovi in Pay It Forward.
Oh, well, that's just the same as Eminem, really.
Exactly. There is
straight
no
out of Detroit.
No difference at all.
Number six.
Nothing.
I guessed J-Lo.
No, number six was Mariah Carey.
Same difference.
In Precious. Which, again, is a very, very good performance and a very, very good film.
Does she do the whole thing looking over her shoulder? Because that's what she does in all the music videos. She sings a high note and she looks at her own ass.
I'd be terrified and ask like that. No, it's one of those films that you shouldn't judge book by its cover, because it is a proper amazing film, and she's really good in it. Like, the director said to her, you can only be in this film if you wear no makeup and you're prepared to look like shit, which she did, and she's amazing in it. Number seven.
That's, I'm guessing it's Stevie Wonder.
No.
I guessed that it was Jamie Foxx.
No. Oh, yes, it is Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles. The wrong blind musician, Chris.
The wrong blind piano player.
Yeah.
I just guessed at a blind musician.
Beethoven. Number eight
is Justin
Blind Lemon
Timberlake.
Jefferson.
What?
Blind Lemon Jefferson. He's a blind musician.
Okay, we've moved on now, Pete. We've finished number seven. Number eight now. God, keep up. Yeah, number eight is Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
It is from Social Network.
Which I watched just 2 days ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Number nine.
I'm guessing Elvis Presley.
Oh, I didn't get anything for that.
It was Elvis Presley from Viva Las Vegas.
Just because it was pretty obviously his voice.
Yeah, see, I thought it was somebody putting on a funny voice.
He's got Peter's, that Elvis twang.
What's the score now? Peter's in the lead, isn't
Yeah, Peter's
One,
in
two,
lead.
Three. I've got four.
You're not in the lead, Blair.
No, Blair.
Four.
You're winning the same way Charlie Sheen is winning.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure which podcast you're listening to at the moment.
All right, it's 4-2 to Peter at the minute, and so we've got 10. I've got nothing for 10, so Peter's won anyway. But
I got nothing for 10 either.
Peter's already had Chris, this person. Guess. That was... What?
Guess, Chris, anyone.
It won't make any difference. I'll still lose.
Just guess some random person.
Okay, well, right. Lewis says I've already guessed it. So my incorrect answers so far was Eminem and J-Lo.
Yep,
Eminem.
So it's
going to
be one of them.
Yeah, I'm guessing Eminem because it's a man.
Yeah. Could have gone either way, really.
It was Eminem from 8 Mile.
All right.
So Peter wins again.
This is just getting embarrassing now, Chris.
Do you want me to quickly run through the songs to see if you could have named a film they were in?
No, I would not have done it at all.
And it defeats the point now.
Yeah, I would not have got it from the songs. No way. I think this was probably easier.
But you missed this. Sorry, I love that song.
Yeah.
She really is a crazy bitch, though, isn't she?
She is. I really like her music, though. I am quite a big fan of her music.
Right. Anyway, question time.
I'm guessing Chris wants to get this done.
Thank you very much for our lovely quiz, though, Lewis, and for preparing too this week. That was rather nice of you.
Don't worry about it.
Hopefully, I will not be shit next week.
I wouldn't bet on it.
No, neither would I. Or maybe I just need to take like a couple of days off work and just watch films continuously.
You make it sound like that's all I do.
That's how I imagine you. Just sitting watching films. Right. We've only got a few questions, so this should be actually relatively quick. I have no idea how to say his name. DNLG. What, G-E-E, so Dunalugi, I guess. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
But a woodchuck can't chuck wood, so a woodchuck wouldn't chuck wood.
Thank you very much, that was succinct.
Next!
Audio Worm says, in a zombie apocalypse, who would survive the longest, and what film/comic/game... would you keep to pass time? I fucking wouldn't keep a film, comic, or game in a zombie apocalypse. It would travel light. You take Left 4 Dead just for the irony.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd make my own film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think taking that kind of stuff with you is a bad idea because you want to travel light so you can flee the zombies.
I wouldn't take a film or anything like that. I'd take music.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably save all the space in my backpack would probably be saved for weapons.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Use your hands. Don't be such a girl. I reckon I would rock in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah?
Just because I'm quite a violent person.
Well, that is the other part of the question. Who would survive the longest? I feel I would probably die instantly. or pretty fucking quickly.
So you should stick with me and Pete.
All right. I will do that.
See, I'm quite big, so I reckon I could probably fight off a few, but I'm not really one for running.
Yeah, that is also true. Shit. See, we've got cars though.
My flaw is I can't run, and I also are worse. So I'm basically just fucked.
But wouldn't if you were faced with a zombie, you wouldn't be a wuss anymore because there's no guilt attached to killing it, so it's just time to.
I suppose that's true. It's kind of
just time to get loose and fuck them up.
I suppose it's kind of just like it's kind of just like smooshing a bug, isn't it? Really.
Yeah.
There's no.
It's the perfect opportunity to just throw all caution to the wind and just cause carnage.
I guess you just think about like every time anyone has ever pissed you off in your
just
life.
Just indulge those murder fantasies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Shh.
All right. Yes, but we have.
I've been told I'm not allowed to do it anymore.
Who do we think would be the longest then? Who'd probably survive longest?
Me.
Yeah, probably Blair. Because
I'd just be quiet and the zombies wouldn't notice I'm there.
I was going to say.
He's busy playing Pokemon.
They'd get to the end of the apocalypse and he'd be like, oh, sorry. Was I meant to be doing something with these zombies?
Actually, to be fair, I've seen.
I thought
where
I was
Blair...
watching a movie.
I have seen on the map where Blair lives, and he's fairly remote, so that's probably a good start for surviving zombies.
You've seen on a map where Blair lives?
Yeah, I've seen on a map where Blair lives.
Like what, proper cyber stalker?
No, Blair told me where he lived once, and I looked it up on a map.
Did I?
All right, catfish.
Because I was no, because I was giving him advice about running routes near his house.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Was but he talking moved, to your sister as well?
No.
And your cousins and your mum.
Oh right.
And your dad.
Yeah, I've moved.
Yeah, you live in university halls now, don't you? That's not great. Yeah. You'd be fucked. Zombies
it's
everywhere.
It's all right. It's still out of a big town or city.
See, but just he lives in university halls. So, who Sunday morning, difference? He's used to zombies.
I was going to say, who would know the difference?
But if it's student halls, that means they'll all be the first to go, so that entire building would just be full of actual zombies.
That's true.
You wouldn't have any hope of getting out there.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be home for the weekend, just by chance.
Mm. Yeah. I'm fucked because I live in... I think me and Lewis don't have good shots because we both live in quite big cities, don't we?
Yeah, but I reckon we'll be right.
Yeah.
Brighton would be because it's all one way, so you'd have to follow the rules of the road. And...
yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah, but in Brighton, all the zombies would be in their bare feet.
Maybe. That's all. Yeah. That's true. Or on bicycles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
with
fair
their free range eggs and their organic bread.
People ride bicycles so much, I have seen them riding bicycles
headbands.
In the snow. It's
and bad. Their peace and love symbols hanging from their neck that they've stolen off of a Mercedes. And drug running through their veins.
Peter, do you live reasonably remote, or are you...
Rainbow flags hanging out of their house windows.
I wonder what zombies in Glasgow...
Wicker baskets
like.
At the...
Peter, what are your odds of survival?
Well, I live in Belfast, so half of the zombies would probably have guns.
Well, that's not good at all.
Yeah. On the flip side of that is that it would be quite easy to get my hands on some firearms.
Yeah, that's true. But essentially, we don't really rate any of our chances in a zombie apocalypse.
But also, I've got quite a lot of weaponry.
A little bit nervous.
Is that a euphemism?
You've never told me that before.
I got shitloads of swords.
All right, well, I'm picking Lewis then for this.
Yeah, I've got like kung fu training weapons and stuff kicking around somewhere.
Oh, awesome. Oh,
I've got a northerner. I could just set Chris on them.
Yeah, but isn't he actually a scouser?
Yeah.
So he'd just really steal bits of zombie.
I thought you were going to say that. Yeah, that's right. That would be fine because he'd just walk along licking their legs.
Yeah, they'd all be on bricks.
Exactly, it's perfect.
Yeah. See, I got three samurai swords, a samurai sword letter opener, and a massive ornamental sword that looks like something from Prince of Persia.
See,
is that a euphemism?
Yeah, it's really ornamental.
I've got a massive ornamental sword.
All I've got is a...
Don't touch the tip too much.
All I've got is a fake...
Especially not with your teeth.
All I've got is a fake shuriken, so that's not good.
What?
I've got, you know, a ninja throwing style of shuriken. But I've got a fake one. It's like one of the points is a screw, so you can screw it in and use it as a coat hook.
Yes.
Michael sent it to me. It's very
handy.
Yeah, but not very useful in a zombie apocalypse.
It depends. You need somewhere to hang your coat.
That's true. you, to be fair, you could use it as a weapon in the street. It is fairly sharp. Yeah. So I'm gonna go probably with Lewis. I reckon. Just
what
the,
are we going with me for?
Well, just because of the number of swords you've got. I think you've got the best.
They're not very
survival.
Sharp, though, to be fair. They're all ornamental.
Yeah.
You don't need a sharp sword for zombies, though, do you?
No, that's true. They're squishy.
Drop off.
Yeah.
That is true. And also, it's the perfect opportunity to drive like an absolute madman.
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm also sure if you're in a situation of a zombie apocalypse, you would probably find time to sharpen the swords.
Probably.
Oh, I've got that plan to do anyway. Zombie apocalypse or not.
All right, that's fine then. All right, next up, from Stephen Ryan. Out of all...
How's your family, Ryan? Sorry, that was Thingy's name in... What's it?
Thank you for
Patrick
that. Very specific. Out of all the superhero movies...
Clear and Present Danger and all that lot.
Oh, okay, yeah, Jack Ryan. Out of all the superhero movies that have been made... Which actor would you replace? Like replacing Christian Bale with someone else as Batman? I would replace John Clooney as...
You would what?
Right, shut up. I would replace George Clooney as Batman with someone who wasn't shit at being Batman. George Clooney's all right in other stuff. He was quite good in Ocean's 11, but he was shit
at being Batman. I'd replace them all with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, that would be fucking awesome.
Batman can't be black.
That would be slightly weird. That's a good point.
That'd be like having a white shaft. Oh, don't say a word, Peter. Do not say a word.
There's nothing wrong with that. I've got one of them myself.
Imagine Samuel Jackson's Deadpool.
No, Ryan Reynolds is the real Deadpool. Leave him alone.
Anyone else got any... Peter, have you got any thoughts on this?
Who I would replace in a superhero movie?
Yeah, what actor would you replace with what other actor?
I don't know. That's a really weird question.
I know, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
I would replace... I'd probably replace that guy that plays Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. I'd replace him with, I don't know, Russell Crowe. I'd replace him just because I don't like Hugh Jackman.
But I'd replace Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think he'd make a really good Spider-Man. But I'm also quite looking forward to Andrew Garfield too.
I think Andrew Garfield should be quite interesting. Everyone said he's kind of incredible.
Tobey Maguire was fucking shocking as Spider-Man.
Yes. He was. He's a dick-tonge.
So yes, I think I will actually revise my plans and just replace Tobey Maguire with somebody who's not a huge mincer.
Can we just replace Tobey Maguire in life in general?
He really ruined those films.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He definitely ruined the third one.
He ruined all of them.
The first
Getting really angry just thinking about it.
To be fair, I think the second Spider-Man film is actually quite a good film, the one with Doc Ock. I think that's all right. But the third one is fucking awful.
The one with Doc Ock.
Doc Ock. Not Doc Ock. Duck Ock is not a very intimidating villain.
I thought it was like an Eastern European like super terrorist.
Dark Ock.
Sounds like a James Bond villain.
It does a little bit, actually, yeah. All right.
Tobey Maguire, though, was good in Brothers. I'll give him credit there.
And finally, from creepy Liam again. What's cracker lacking, guys? I don't know what.
What's
what? Apparently, he says, "What's cracker lacking, guys?"
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
What's happening? What's up?
Oh. I'm
what street slang, Chris?
I am not down with the kids, as they say.
Because you live in Brighton, you're down with the kids all the time.
I'm not even sure what that means. Do you think that games and films should be in the perspective of the bad guys more? Lots and lots of media seems to be hero-based, and the enemy is just shown to be evil with no real depth. Discuss accordingly with banter. Well, they're making that Nemesis, the comic book series from Mark Millar, which is pretty much told from the villain's perspective. And that's getting made into a film.
Everything that's told, or most things that are told from the villain's perspective, tend to be comedies.
What about Swordfish? That's sort of told from the villain's perspective.
Yeah.
And that's quite a good film.
That is a good film, but it's still... I'd quite like to see a villain film where you actually side with the villain, because even in Swordfish, you don't want John Travolta.
Oh, yeah, you are like John Travolta is fucking evil.
Yeah. The only problem with doing it that way is it would cause uproar with all the goody two shoes saying, yeah, exactly. "Oh, you're glorifying this type of behaviour and you're making it acceptable."
Yeah, that's true.
What about Hellboy?
Hellboy's shit.
Oh no!
But
what
is
about...
he not kind of a villain in that?
No, he's not. He's good
guy. No, he's a hero. Isn't he?
He's an anti-hero like Wolverine.
Well, yeah, he's just Wolverine. Wolverine's not really. Yeah, I suppose he is good.
He's not a villain. He's an anti-hero. It's just the concept of the anti-hero, where they're still a hero, they just don't act in a heroic manner.
All right. What about Schindler's List?
Ooh.
That's sort of true, I suppose.
We were supposed to empathise with Oscar Schindler in that, and Oscar Schindler sent thousands of Jews to their death.
Mm. Yeah. I was actually going to say, I suppose it is a comedy, I was going to say Four Lions. That sort of, that is a comedy.
And they're not really, that's not really a villain, is it? That's just...
Yeah.
That's an unfortunate and tragic part of life.
That's true.
W. It's a film about George W. Bush.
George Bush, yeah.
In which you end up sympathising with that complete twat. Mostly because he's funny, and it's fun to laugh at a bumbling idiot.
Yeah. And Monster.
What's that?
Starring Charlize Theron, where she plays that lesbian murderer.
Oh yeah, but if she's a lesbian, then it doesn't count.
Oh right, okay.
Well, because you automatically side with a lesbian.
Yeah. But she's not a very good-looking lesbian.
No.
In fact, she's quite a fugly-looking lesbian.
Really?
Yeah. Have you not seen the clips of the makeup for Charlize Theron? She looks proper fugly.
Wow.
And Christina Ricci is her lover, which is enough said. Actually, that was a bit mean. I like Christina Ricci normally. She's also ugly in that.
Yeah.
But that's a very good film, and it's about the bad guys, and you end up feeling sorry and siding for them. And Lie as well, L-I-E, starring Brian Cox, where he plays a paedophile who befriends a young boy, and that is a very controversial film because that it doesn't side with him as such, but it makes you feel sorry for him. And obviously it's quite a vile character that you shouldn't be feeling sorry for.
Yeah.
What about Avatar?
I suppose that depends on your perception of evil.
Yeah, I wanted the Na'vi to fucking die.
Well, not necessarily that, but the lead character was a fucking cunt in that film. Subjugating
yes,
a race.
No, he was, yeah, he was, yeah.
Assimilating himself as part of their culture and then taking control.
True.
That is a very good thought.
Right. I just fucking hate that. So, well, I don't hate that film. I just don't think it's worth all the hype.
No, it's not.
So,
Titanic.
Who's the fucking villain in Titanic? The iceberg.
The iceberg, exactly. But I feel sorry for the iceberg because if a 50 million ton ship crashed into me, I'd be pretty upset.
Fair point.
It's not sentient.
Probably leave a mark as well.
It's not sentient.
Yeah. And?
It's an iceberg.
And?
It killed loads of people.
You're not going to get anywhere with this, Blair.
It didn't kill people. The driver of the ship drove into it.
Yeah, to be fair, the iceberg did not get on the ship and just go on the murdering spree.
I'm an iceberg. I've come to kill you.
Although, I would have been way more interested in watching that film.
That is my impression of an iceberg. Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it.
I would have been way more interested.
You missed 75% of it because it was underwater.
Lewis, if they'd made Titanic that way, would you like that film more?
What, with the iceberg that comes to life and goes on a rampage?
The iceberg
that would be awesome.
Comes to life and just kills everyone.
Do you know they've made a Titanic 2?
Yeah, I heard
this
about
is
that.
A joke in some way.
No, it's not a joke. You can buy it on DVD. Go into HMV, ask them for Titanic 2, and it literally is. It's not like they've even come up with a different disaster. It's the bit on the back is. It's like the anniversary of the ship, so they built a whole new ship, called it Titanic again, sent it on its maiden voyage, and it hits an iceberg.
That's kind of just asking for trouble.
You just think, what? Where do these people get their money from? Where do they get funding from to make Titanic 2?
They made snakes on a train as well.
I would watch
they
that
haven't,
film.
Have they?
That'd be amazing.
Honestly, snakes on a train, they made loads of other films.
Or as XKCD suggested, snakes on every plane. I would also watch that film.
They should just let snakes do airport security.
They do.
As opposed to those perverts that like to feel your balls.
Those perverts that like to feel your snake.
Yes, exactly.
A solid snake. You wouldn't even know he was there.
I'm sorry, you just said solid snake when we were talking about penises.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, that's all the questions.
Earthworm Jim, more like.
I've got questions.
Oh, what are your questions, Pete? I didn't know, you didn't tell me.
Well,
that's because last time he told you, you shot him down.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit wounded after that.
Yeah.
I've got Jumbo GT says, can you do my 3D modelling for me?
No.
And then his follow-up question
to,
is...
To be fair, even if we could, it would be fucking awful.
Yeah,
Blair can do it, because it would be quite nice.
I could do it with some plasticine and a knife, but it would look like... well, it would be shit. Mm. And then his follow-up question is that a suitable question? No, not really.
This isn't like an odd job request show.
Yeah, it's not Bob a Job Week. and then AG2297 also known as AG Too Many Numbers, says, which of the Black Eyed Peas would you snog, marry, and avoid? And
such
reasons
a
why.
Fucking little shit.
You didn't even get to the end of the question and Lewis is already angry.
I don't know the names of three of them, so I'll just say that I will avoid Will.i.am and I'll snog the woman because she's
Fergie.
A woman.
Her name is Fergie.
Okay, I don't know who the other ones are. The backup dancers.
There's a long-haired twerk.
I'll marry one of them backup dancers.
Yeah, I know. There's Fergie and Will.i.am, and then there's some other ones.
Long-haired twat, short twat, lead twat, and girl twat.
Are any of them peas, or do any of them have black eyes?
No.
They'll get black eyes if ever I saw them.
And then my last question, Ben Stitch says, which day are you going to the Eurogamer Expo?
All of them.
All of them. And probably a day before and a day after. I'm just going to be leaning against the door.
All of them.
None of them.
All of them on two conditions. One, I will be at all. Well, you'll definitely be at all of them. I will be at all of them, but probably not all day because we're planning on doing some podcasts and I need to cut those. So if I'm cutting till 2 a.m, I'm not going back to the show at 10 a.m. And B, depending on how drunk we get, because we are planning to get reasonably drunk. Yeah. I believe getting very drunk is part of the plan that was discussed in emails today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we got our press passes today, me and Peter, which was very happy times.
Yep. Which means that we get to skip queues and get in early and stuff.
Yeah, it's actually really well done this year. Because last year you didn't get very much of being pressed. You got to go in early, which was quite handy. But there didn't seem to be much that they'd provided. Although they did, organised a few more like press areas on the second and third day. But the fact that you get into the presentations and stuff and get a guaranteed seat sounds super so useful, because you can easily lose an hour or two queuing for those.
Yeah, and I don't queue very well. I'm not a patient man.
No, but you do get free stuff waiting in the queue, which is quite nice.
Cool. Just to keep you happy.
Yeah, I went and saw the Rage presentation and they came and gave out like t-shirts to everyone queuing, which was really nice of them.
Just to keep you happy in the queue.
Yeah, exactly. It was quite nice. It should be a good event, and plans are being made for us to go. But yeah, Peter's going to be there every day, all day, I would imagine.
And yeah, probably.
I am planning to be there in some capacity every day. It depends on how much audio I have to cut.
And Blair might come. Are you coming, Blair?
I don't know. Maybe.
He doesn't know. We'll see what 3D content they have on show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll try and convince Lewis to come as well.
Lewis,
and then he can, to come.
He can just walk around going, but... well, it's kind of like a movie, but you have to control it yourself.
Yeah. it's quite to come. Money, how much is it?
It's not, it's £8 a ticket.
And plus, I've already got tickets for all days that I bought, so I can get you in on them.
Exactly.
Cool. Where is it?
London.
It's in that London.
Oh, no.
Your favourite place.
Me and Peter, I think, are planning to get some accommodation up there.
Yeah, we are hopefully going to like do a short-term let on a flat or something just to get it for the week.
I'll come and stay the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And drink.
Yeah, we'd rather, I think, because our plan was to get a flat so that we can do podcasts and stuff, because you can't do that in a hotel room comfortably.
Yeah, and also, hotel rooms in London are really expensive. Like, I paid almost £100 for a hotel room the other week in London for that Xperia Play thing, and it was a fucking hovel.
Yeah, it's not great.
Was it Premier Inn?
No, it was just I can't remember the name of the place, but it was, a hotel room is going to be shit when they hand you a key, not even a key card, a fucking key, and the key ring for it is, no word of a lie, a foot-long metal spike.
What?
I'm not even joking.
It's just like, this is in case anyone tries to murder you in your sleep.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, use this key because we're still in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you try and take our key out of the hotel, we will chase you down and stab you. You have to leave it in reception afterwards. Yeah, you have to leave your key behind reception.
Oh, God. But yeah, me and Peter have been making plans for this actually for you, a gamer today, about buying equipment and stuff.
Yeah, we're going to do podcasts and we're hopefully going to do videos, and
it's going to be really fucking expensive, but it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be crazy and fun, and we will drink.
We will drink. There will be. I kind of want to organize like a TSA community event.
As many people as possible to hook up. Yeah, maybe the Saturday or something. We could do something sort of early evening after the show.
Yeah, just go and get pissed. Sorry for our listeners who are under 18. Our plan is to get drunk. Which, to be fair, most of my plans do boil down to that in some capacity.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm going to get drunk as soon as this podcast's over. Yeah. It's St. Patrick's Day. I have a contractual obligation.
Exactly, by living in Ireland.
Yeah, but yes. The Irish half of my family would disown me if I didn't get drunk. Mm.
But yes, we will be a Eurogamer, essentially, all the time. And by the Sunday, we may look quite bleary-eyed.
I'll look bleary-eyed in the first day.
You will.
I'll be drinking on the plane.
My plan, which is going to fucking kill me, is to take a big bag of stuff to work on Wednesday and come up to London after work on the Wednesday, which means I will probably get into London at about 9 o'clock after working all day, and then we will start doing content before the show starts. So yeah, it's going to be bad. Yes, it's 4 days of insanity. I don't know if our press passes get us into the early day. I assume they do. But you got tickets for the early day.
Yeah, I've got tickets for the early day anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the two. Yes. Have you got any other questions, Peter?
No, that was my last question.
Okay. Oh God, I don't want to say this. Let's do the wrap-up bit. Good, no one's interrupted me yet. Okay, so this has been episode 10 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I have been, as per normal, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I have been kindly joined this week by our special guest, Blair Ingalls. You can find him at Twitter as my name is Blair, and also pretty much everywhere as my name is Blair, I believe. I've taken my headphones off again, guys, because you're pissing
off. Chris.
You can find Peter as Colossal Blue pretty much anywhere you care. You can find Lewis Gaston at twitter.com/LewisGaston and over at screengeam.com. And you can find me as HalPro on the Oscar Mike Media site. And on Twitter is that as well. Okay, put my headphones back on now. I've done the outro already. I finished.
What?
You've done it already?
Yeah, I took my headphones off again.
Ah, you're such a cunt.
You missed all the fun.
So much easier, though.
You missed the Dolly Parton karaoke session.
I to be fair, when I was editing, I did quite like listening back to the Michael Bublé Spider-Man.
You are done. Head to rest.
If you don't stop, I'm gonna... Lewis.
That's not me.
Lewis.
That wasn't
Who
me.
Who was it?
Damn it, Lewis.
That was Blair's music. I was just singing along, because it's a good song.
If you don't stop, I'm gonna play songs from the Glee soundtrack.
Go on in, I'll sing along. Go on.
Alright, you want to.
Go on in.
Let me just find it on Spotify.
You have also just shown yourself as having the Glee soundtrack.
No, I've just shown myself as having Spotify. I have Spotify.
As having...
I think you can get a cream for that.
Yeah. Oh, truly, you are the greatest wit of our age, Peter Chapman.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, Spotify's being a dick, so I can't play Glee at you.
In your face.
Right. Anyway.
I nearly called you something that would have been very offensive then.
Thank you all for listening to another week of insanity. I don't know how the fuck we've got all the way to episode 10. I Right. Yeah, thank you all for listening. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. No.
Goodbye.
Oh, no, oh, wait, wait. Someone's playing Johan Johansson.
What?
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 Someone was just playing a song. Peter, was that you?
That was me, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was, I just hit my banjo.
Oh, was it? That sounded like the beginning of that.
Euphemism either.
Right.
Play your banjo. Go on.
I can't actually play a banjo. I've just got a banjo. But it sits right next to my computer. Hold on. I can't actually remember how to play anything on this.
What about dueling banjos?
No, I can't remember it.
Yeah, nearly.
That's not bad, though. That's
pretty, yeah,
no,
that's
close enough.
That's
I'll try
good.
And tune that banjo and remember that tune for next time.
Yeah. Bidding, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Shit.
I've only got rock band instruments.
I've got a piano, but it's on the other side of my room.
Peter's getting a piano.
Well, yeah. It's not a piano. It's a 25-key keyboard.
It's
but it comes
controller.
With synth sounds and everything. It's fucking brilliant. I can't wait. It got dispatched this evening.
Why?
Bastards.
Why? So that
make
I can
music.
Play music with it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You'll love it. It's in 3D.
Next week, we'll all bring our instruments. I'll bring my piano closer. You bring your banjo and your MIDI. Yeah, bring your rock band drums.
Rock band guitars.
Just Chris, bring your clicking. Triangle.
Does that mean I'm coming back next week?
No.
We'll have a hootenanny. It'll be fantastic.
We'll have a hoedown. Is Chris gone?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you are.
Everyone wants to have a hootenanny. Hootenannies are awesome. Right. So are you going to actually end now?
No.
No, all right, good. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back.
You probably can't hear this, but I'm juggling.
Great. That works so well on the podcast.
Yeah.
You probably can't hear this, but I'm doing an impression of French mime artist.
Thank you for listening. And we
I'm using my rock band microphone. I'm using my rock band microphone, so I'm using an instrument.
Oh, God. All right. That's not an instrument. It's a way of recording things.
I'm using a rock band instrument.
Yes. Your voice is the instrument in that instance.
Right. I'm fucking ending this. And all of you.
Fucking end it then, Chris.
All right.
Fucking end it.
All right. Goodbye.
No.
Lewis,
yeah.
Can you set this week? Can you send me all the files for the quiz, please, and the competition?
No.
Okay.
No.
Can you actually do it and not be awkward?
No.
Great.
Anything else?
That's brilliant. That little exchange should be the bit that you put over the end this time.
Yeah, that is going to be that's going to be the end, you fucker. Can you actually do it for me?
Right, I'm not sure what you're not understanding. No.